I know, this is ridiculous.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to a very special episode 152 of Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And even though I'm feeling cute without the E, this podcast is proof of what happiness is.
The first one's too obvious, I think.
You know how I do with these things, so...
Oh, fucking hell.
If you've got a bad feeling about this already...
Are you done?
Yeah.
Alright, cool. The Swiss guest is Adam Azzara, legendary frontman and singer of Take It Back Sunday, and a band who I'd like them from now on to be pronounced fucking whatever. Fucking whatever. Yes.
That is a very good point. But we all whatever. Know by now just how much of a Taken Back Sunday fangirl, nerd, and historian, for the lack of a better term, I
historian?
Am.
He's calling himself historian, man.
Well, Jesus. They are my
gone to
my
a couple
favorite.
Of gigs, listened to a couple of albums. Historian. There he is. Historian Morgan Richards.
Rich, yeah, I'm taking that. I'm taking that to the grave. But they are my favorite band, and I've confessed my love for them numerous of times on this podcast. But if you're pure emo trash like me, you'll notice that 152 is a signature number in all things TBS. It's used on all their album covers, merch, certain things with their fans and crew. The lot. So with that in mind, we just had to invite Adam back on to dish out all the secrets and origins of the number while reminiscing some even more unbelievable moments into a genre-defying career. We've obviously talked about their influence a lot, Sean, but Taking Back Sunday really are an important band to both you and I.
Yes, very, very, very much so. What a brilliant band. Been lucky enough to play with them once or twice over the years and see them many, many times. Always entertaining. Fantastic to listen to. I just love them all round. So it was fantastic to get to talk to Adam. And yeah, thank you very much to Emma for sorting out this chat, especially for it being episode 152. We went to them and we were like, look, this is a special number to Take It Back Sunday. Can we do this episode? And they seemed very, very happy that we got in touch with them for it. So yeah, it was a fantastic chat. We talk about two of my favourite Ricks, Rick James and Ric Flair.
Yeah,
nobody was expecting that. I wasn't expecting that.
No, neither was I.
But we have a brilliant, brilliant chat with Adam that is very, very funny and it's very, very enjoyable. And I know you're going to enjoy it too. So stick around for that. If you've got any future guest ideas, any questions or anything you want to know, get in touch with us on Twitter and Instagram at SapninPod. That's at SAPPENINPOD. Or if you've listened to three or more episodes of Sapnin Podcast, bear in mind, this will be our second with Adam from Taking Back Sunday. We've got one with former member Matt Rubano as well, and one with Fred Mascherino. So if you listen to 3 episodes or more of Sapling Podcast, you must, and it's now law, Preeti Patel from the Conservative Party emailed me just now to say you must sign up to patreon.com/sapling.
Yes, and over there you get a load of exclusive bonuses and extras from podcasts, playlists, photos, behind-the-scene goodness, and all that.
Meetups, chats,
including
Zooms.
Being invited into our wonderful Sapling Podcast Patreon community, who are wonderful human beings. You'll make friends, you'll have gig buddies
best.
For life, and it's just an overall wonderful time. There's a lot of celebrations going on for us at the moment, so get over there and involved with everything, and it's the best way to support the podcast. But let's not go on any longer. The wonderful Mr. Adam Lazara is back on episode 152 of Sapling Podcast.
Yes, big fan of Adam Keith Lazara. I don't think that's his middle name. I just made it up. I'm sorry about that. But yes, you fucking have a listen to this. Sapling! Were you swigging a bottle then the perfect time I said Sapling? Sapling!
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Sapling!
What's happening, guys?
Come on, Adam. Gosh. You've been here before.
Man, but I just have trouble saying it like you do. And then, like, I've, like, stuttered since I was a kid. So getting me to, like, say something like that, like, it would just be dead air. My eyes would be rolling back to the back of my head. It'd be like a, you know, like a Looney Tunes moment, like a Porky the Pig. When he, like, tries to say, like, see you guys later, but then he has to say something different because his body or, like, his mind just won't let him do it.
That's fair. We'll let you off then. We'll let you off in that case, but...
No, it's so good to speak to you again. We should let the listeners know that you were doing this via the phone so we can't see each other anyway. So if we had got you stuck, we couldn't have been able to tell either. So we wouldn't have known. But how are you?
Good, man. Like, we're like easing back into playing shows again, which just feels so great. We did a run with Thursday in September, and right now we're with Jimmy Eat World, which is just fantastic.
Well, yeah, that's that tour is literally Morgan's favorite two bands of all time touring
literally,
together. You guys and Jimmy Eat World.
I'm very jealous that that's not in the UK.
if you get on a plane now, you could definitely make one of the shows.
are you offering me guest list, Adam? Because I mean.
No, you still gotta pay full price.
Gotta pay.
Well, like, look here. I know a guy, so I could definitely get you into the show.
At the very least, I think we could get you a discount. You could get you a discount at the very least.
There's like a, we offer discounted guest rates. So we could work something out. The thing is, you just pay the money directly to me in cash.
Okay. And, I'll have a look at flights.
The problem with that then is, though, you have to meet him in the flesh. Surely it'd be easier for you to be PayPal'd by Morgan, so you don't have to see him at all.
Yeah, there. Well, I would give him my Venmo information. That's no problem.
nice. But yeah, how's the tour been? How's the tour been with Jimmy Eat World?
Great. I mean, this is just, we'll be on show 2 tonight, but first show went great. And it's, you know, like they're also one of my favorite bands. Like, I actually feel bad because I was like, the first show we were in Salt Lake City and there were these two guys up front, you know, they looked pretty young. And so I said into the microphone, I'm like, man, first time I saw Jimmy Eat World, I was probably around your guys' age. How old are you? And they were like 16. And I was like, yeah, that's how old I was. But then, so then when Jimmy Eat World was playing, Jim made the joke. He was like, yeah, first time I saw Taking Back Sunday, I called the police and I thought that was hilarious. But then I thought, wait, I hope they weren't. I hope he didn't think I was saying like, oh my God, they're so old. Cause I don't feel that way at all. I was just trying to express to everyone that was there, like how much I love their band and for how long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. But after all this time away and just being kind of like stuck in the house and not being able to tour, I'm sure that not only has it felt weird for you, but this must be the most excited you've ever been to get back on a stage and swing a microphone around.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the swinging the microphone, you know, I never look at it like that, but I guess now that you say it, sure. It's a strange thing, you know, because you go through this whole year of not being able to do it. So now that we're back out here, like, I just couldn't tell you how excited we all are and like just how fortunate we are just realizing that we are, that we're able to do it. So there's that. But then there's this other side that's like, oh God, is this safe? Are we doing the right thing? Oh no. Like, so there's like kind of like there's like the two voices, the internal dialogue is split in two, you know, and you just try to find a compromise between those two voices.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, Adam, obviously we've wanted you back on for many reasons. We always say how much we love TBS and have documented that on a lot of episodes, but this is actually episode 152, and
that's amazing.
A significant number for TBS, you, the whole thing. Being a massive nerd of the band, I definitely wanted you on for this reason.
He's petitioned for this.
Could you just kind of explain what the number, why that's being like so sentimental with the band over the years and be on every single album cover you've ever released?
Sure. I grew up in North Carolina, and where I grew up in North Carolina was like not a tiny town, but it was relatively small. So to go to any show or anything, you had to drive about an hour and a half, either north or south. And at that time, most of the shows were going through Chapel Hill, which is a town, you know, like Merge Records is there and like Superchunk, like that whole thing. So we would drive up there, and kind of the halfway point was this exit off of Interstate 40. There's Interstate 40 and I-85, they kind of merged together for this for a ways in North Carolina. So anyways, there's an exit. It's exit 152, and that's where we would kind of meet up and then, like, when we were going to these shows. And then it's like grown a lot since that time, but there was, or like that area, because it was back then there was like two gas stations. They had these honey mustard flavored chips, which were super weird, or crisps, as you guys would say. So we would just always stop there and meet up with friends. So then when I moved to New York, you know, to join the band, and then through all that, like having the 152 on the on the records was just kind of a nod to them. Just this thing of saying, like, no matter how like far away we get or like how far away we may feel, like that they're still a huge part of what we're doing, which is still true to this day. So it was just to let them know that I was thinking about them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I put my money on it was something to do with an area code. So yeah, that's super interesting. And yeah, has anybody ever stolen that 152 sign? Surely some rabid Taking Back Sunday fans should.
I've actually thought about it numerous occasions, but but it's like right right off the highway, you know, and like it's always kind of busy through there, so there's no like real. But there was over the years, people have put like a ton of stickers on the 152 signs, and they keep replacing the signs or like scraping the stickers off. And I just think about the poor guy. It's like his job. Like, all right, I got to go up on the side of the interstate to scrape all these stickers off of this road sign for some reason. So, yeah.
I just imagine that like a midnight emo gang just kind of getting there in the middle of the night, plastering with stickers and then running off.
Yeah. Well, like I know that a few my buddy Greg put up there, and then he like, cause he would go and like put one up and then take a picture and then like just hop back in his car and take off, you know. But so I like think even like they're like ninjas, man, like middle of the day, you go from 70 miles an hour, you know, you stop, hop out of the car, stick it on there, and then get in and go about your business.
Well, yeah, I was thinking that like if you got like a bunch of high-vis jackets, you could get a team out there because people just think that you're working for the road or whatever. And then you basically like the, I guess, the Rock Banksy. Like you could have a team go out there and just Taking Back Sunday on it. That'd be amazing. Taking Banksy Sunday. Oh, that's
million dollar ideas. See, like right when you said that, I immediately thought of like Ocean's 11 or like the Italian Job or something, to where like there's a big heist and they pretend like they're a part of the road crew. But that that's a avenue that we haven't explored, so we'll have to talk again soon. I'll see what I can put together.
Have you passed in a tour bus yet? I'm wondering if you could like pull over and just like
well, it's funny, like I like anytime we've driven by in the bus, it's been like super, like we've been sleeping. So, but there was
fair enough.
For like the past 2 years, like my wife Misha, she was getting her master's at NC State, which is in Raleigh, and then so we were going back and forth between Charlotte and Raleigh, North Carolina, and then like every time we were going, you know, we'd pass that exit. So I can't tell you like how many like half videos I have on my phone of like trying to like
I'll get it. To, like, oh, I fucking passed it.
I was so close. Yeah. So yeah, I'll have to go through and try to find all those because they're probably pretty funny. Like a good amount of cursing in the background.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
You can make a super compilation of the times you've nearly caught it on camera.
Yeah. That would have to be a whole. Actually, maybe that's just what my Instagram can turn into, is me trying to get this sign.
Oh, that'd be so good. Yeah. Or you just make like you make a Taking Back Sunday lyric video in the future, and just all the background visuals are just missing that sign.
Look, if that's actually a really great idea, and so if you,
can have
you
it.
See,
you can have it.
Well, if I
see it, I won't say anything.
Well, like, no, I'm all about credit where credit's due. So like, well, like if we do, if I can pull that off, because I guarantee I have at least 5 minutes of stuff. If you put it all together, nice. It would be,
yeah.
So we'll, shoot you an email and let you know it's coming. Then we can
I love how we've just made the Taking Back Sunday music video here. That's absolutely phenomenal. But
yeah, done. Three minds are greater than one.
But speaking of the album covers as well, like I feel having 152, you've put it in plain sight on a lot of the records, but there's little elements of it as well that's been hidden in plain view. Is there any in particular that are your favorite, and they're like new again, had the dice that you had to look a bit more, and louder now is the price of the ticket and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, do you have a favorite version of the 152 on an album cover?
I can't say that anyone is like that. I like any one more than the other, you know, I think that they all, like, I'm just proud that we've managed to squeeze it into each one without it looking really out of place, you know, like there's, and we've been real fortunate. Like, it's, well, like Brad Philippe, you know, like he's done almost all of our covers. I think with the exception of Happiness Is and Tell Our Friends. So like he's real good at getting it in there. Like, I remember on Where You Want to Be was the first record cover that he worked with us on. And then from then on, like anytime I've called him up and kind of told him the general idea of what we were going for, or as far as like the theme of the artwork, he just goes ahead and puts it on there. He just knows.
Yeah. Nice. Awesome. Yeah. And going back to that kind of time before moving to New York and really taking the band off, is there any memories that kind of stand out to you of that time going to shows, meeting up with friends and just meeting up there? Like, yeah. what comes to mind?
What was the best show you remember?
Yeah.
Oh, best show, man. Like, there were so many, cause that was pretty much just what I lived for, you know, like that was, there was one time, and I'll never forget the show, cause I remember there was like this conversation that I had with my dad the next day, cause he was pretty mad. I mean, I think I was like 16, and the Get Up Kids were on tour with MXPX, and they played in Winston-Salem, and Get Up Kids were opening. I was a huge fan of both bands. And then, but they didn't, so they played at like one of the bigger clubs, which was called Ziggy's. But after the show, since their set was only like a half hour or like 45 minutes or whatever, they packed everything up and then went over to this other, like more like DIY venue called 533 Uprisings, which was in downtown Winston-Salem. And they were like, yeah, like we'll set up there and play like a full set, so you guys could see that. And like, I was kind of acquaintances with the people that ran that venue. I was just a few years younger than them. So anyway, so we watched Give Kids, watch MXPX set, and then hopped in the car. I had this Datsun Nissan Sentra. It's before Nissan was its own company. And it was a stick shift, only first, third, and fifth gear work. So if I had to back up, I'd be like,
"That's insane."
Yeah, like the top row gear. So if I had to back up, I had to like Fred Flintstone it. But there was thankfully it was a small car. So then we drove across town, and then they just set up and played. There was maybe like 40 people there, and it was just incredible. Like, and also it was like a school night, you know. I didn't get home till like 3 a.m. so that was like hot hell for that, but it was worth it. Like, that show will always stick out for me. And coincidentally, that venue is the same place to where I first saw Jimmy World. They were touring, like Clarity had just came out, because I remember, because I got like the promotional poster, you know, I got it from the show. It was up in my room for a long time.
It's amazing to see those kind of full circle moments take place, like all these years later, and being able to tour with each other now.
Yeah, there's like, I remember there was one time, like we played like a radio show or something with Jimmy World, and I was like talking to Jim, and I was trying to tell him about that and like how I had the poster and all that, but I was, oh my God, it was so awkward. And then I was like, well, I guess I'm just never going to talk to Jim again. That's just how that's going to go. So I just embarrassed myself. So, he's real gracious. So it's not awkward now. And I'm glad I got it out of my system.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Good to hear that. But being stuck in that mindset as well of the kind of the old days, like, is there anything that you've really noticed in your kind of musical journey, or just the kind of songwriting aspect of your craft now compared to when you started? Because obviously, you know, you've grown up so much. Obviously, you're a big family man now. You've been doing this for so long. The priorities and mindsets will shift. Is there anything when you think back to younger Adam that maybe, like, not necessarily advice, but anything you think is quite interesting on the way you look at things differently?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a really big question. One of the things, like a big difference, is I was always the one that, you know, if I was talking to, it's like Matt Galley, he's who's booked us for since the very beginning. And I remember having conversations with him, telling him, like, hey, man, like, we don't care if we're home, just keep us busy, keep us working. To whereas now, at a certain point, we'll be like, hey, we need to go home.
Hey, Mike, so less touring.
Yeah, it's not because, like, we don't want to or anything like that. It's, or like, play, but it's just because there's just different, like, back then, you know, like, we didn't have families or anything. So, and now it's a different set of circumstances, I guess, is. But yeah, like as far as, like, your question though, like, about, like, things we've learned or anything like that. I mean, that's, like, I feel like you could do a whole series just on that. Like, it would be hard to really pinpoint just one thing.
No, I can imagine. That's book territory there, definitely.
yeah, for real.
But fast forward into modern day now, obviously, you've just released a cover of My Name is Jonas by Weezer. Now, I've seen online...
Fantastic.
It is fantastic. I've seen a couple of people be a little bit confused online because it's a little bit left field and something they weren't expecting. But I understand that you guys have actually been playing this song in, like, sound checks and stuff for years.
Yeah, well, like, not so much years, but, like, in, like, 2019, we were doing this kind of, like, 2019 marked, like, 20 years since, like, I had joined the band, and, like, we kind of, like, started in this, down this road. So, so we wanted to do something to celebrate that. Cause I think if you manage to do anything consistently for 20 years, like, that deserves some kind of celebration. So anyways, that said, like, we went and, like, did so much touring, you know, like, we went all around the world, and we were just kind of, like, trying to celebrate with the people that made it possible and that have grown up with us or, like, found us somewhere along the way. The sound check started to get a bit monotonous because it was like, okay, I guess we'll just play this song again. So one day Mark, our drummer, was like we get up there for sound check, he's like, hey, do you just want, can we just play something different? And then we were just kind of thinking of like what songs that we all knew. And then someone started playing that opening kind of like guitar, the picky kind of arpeggiated part of My Name is Jonas. And everybody jumped in and we just all knew it. And so we didn't have to, like, sure, there were little nuances that we had to go back. And 'cause that's one of the things I love about Weezer is that there's all, like, even the songs that are presented very simply, there's always something real awesome going on once you take a closer look. But we just thought it was pretty amazing that we didn't really talk about it or plan anything out, and everybody just knew the song. So we started doing that during sound checks. Then we just started adding it to the set because it was just fun for us. And then we had a day off in Buffalo, New York. And we went to a studio there. Actually, it's the Goo Goo Dolls built it.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty cool. It has a really great live room. Like they're, like, modular. And so anyway, so we went there with the guy who's our friend now. His name's Jay. And just tracked it because, again, it was something new to do. And we love being in the studio. And so then we just had this recording, just kind of sitting around, and it was really Mark that helped it come along to be released now, you know, because at a certain point he's like, man, we need to just put that out. Let's just put that out. You know, Stars kind of aligned. It's a photo finish that, which is at Matt Galley's label, you know, Galley that I mentioned, who's booked us since the very beginning. They were just kind of like, yeah, we'd love to put it out. And then so here we are with a Weezer cover out.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. Well, yeah, the reception seems to have been really good so far.
Fucking better be.
No. That's the answer I wanted. That's the answer I wanted. That's good.
I was just going for the laugh there. Yeah.
No.
But
no, you're right. More bands would do that, though. I wish more bands would be like, yeah, you fucking better like our new shit.
Yeah,
like,
of course. There's not enough heels in fucking music. Yeah, we need more Ric Flairs in rock. That's what we need, Dad.
Rick. But Rick Flair actually lives in Charlotte. I'll like see him around from time to time.
Where have you seen Rick Flair?
There's this restaurant called Cowfish in Charlotte, North Carolina, and what it is it's like a hybrid of like American fare and sushi, and hence the name Cowfish. They have a signature Ric Flair roll called the Nature Boy roll.
I fucking love this.
So restaurant's really great, and we used to go there a lot, but there's like once or twice that I remember there was one time we were waiting on the table, you know, we were sitting outside, and then I just kind of looked over. I'm like, that's fucking Ric Flair. All right.
So, I like the idea of you hearing wooing from a distance before you see him. There's just a woo background. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck is that? But yeah, that's amazing.
Ric Flair's coming.
Yeah. Do you know what? There's not enough Take It Back Sunday Ric Flair crossovers, I don't think.
There's definitely not.
At the same time, though, you have recently dyed your hair blonde as well.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to have more fun.
Nice.
No, it was something to do. Yeah, something to do. Like, it was a long year, and then I'm like, well, something needs to change. I haven't dyed my hair in a long time. Let's try that out. But it was my neighbor, our next door neighbor, Elise, that did it. And I'll tell you what, like, I've always, like, the only time I've ever done anything like that, has just always been, like, you know, like, in, like, a dressing room or, like, or just by myself, you know. But to do it right, it takes a long time, which I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think I will be doing it again anytime soon, just because it takes so long.
Well, have you been having more fun since being blonde?
No, not necessarily. I like really thought that just the heavens would open up, you know, because I've heard all the things. But I would say I'm having about the same amount of fun.
Oh, good. So, yeah, no dramatic difference either way then.
No.
Really.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up for anyone listening who's thinking of dyeing their hair blonde just to have more fun. Adam has confirmed it's not worth it. But with new music as well, I mean, obviously the pandemic's showing a lot of bands kind of working on things behind the scenes, and there's a lot of albums that have come out of this kind of weird time. Was that anything that you guys had been doing? Was there any kind of like demos or anything like that going on behind the scenes, or was it just kind of an excuse to have some time off, spend it with the family and be safe?
Well, it was a little bit of both. Like right in like early March, we had actually gone to like start demoing. We were all together at this studio called Sue in Charlotte, which is where we recorded Tidal Wave. And so like we went down and we were starting to demo ideas. I think we were together for like a week. And then immediately after that was when it was like, okay, the whole entire world's going on a quarantine lockdown right now. So then we're like, oh God. And then during that time, we didn't really have a chance to get together because we all live in separate places and we were just trying to be as safe and as possible. So it wasn't until like there was like towards the end, like this time last year, we had had a trip scheduled and then all the numbers started to spike again. So it wasn't until like spring of this year that to where we were able to like we felt like it was safe, you know, and like time to get back together. And then since then we've done a couple writing trips and it's all been real great. Like I like think after like we were very fortunate because in 2019, like I said, we were like so busy. And then so we were already like our plan for 2020, you know, was to kind of like, okay, let's regroup and then start working on new songs. And then like, I think we had like a handful of shows spread out over the year. So I just say we were lucky in the sense of like, we were coming out of a really busy year. So I think part of it was just kind of being able to, recover from all that touring and which was nice. But then I know for me personally, I was just itching to get into the studio like the whole time. So each like trip that we have has been real great. We're well on our way to being, to being ready to track a new record.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, nice. How many records? Jesus Christ. How many songs do you think you've got so far?
I would say that there's like, probably about half of the way there. And then there's also like, there's a lot of other ideas floating around that we just need to sit down and massage a little bit, you know? So I don't know, we found that what works best for us is to just go in and then just kind of see what happens, you know, because anytime we've gone into the studio and thought, okay, we're going to write some songs that kind of feel like this, you know, like then they never turn out good. so we've just kind of been letting it happen. And oh my God, we're just like we're the luckiest guys I know because we're able to do that. So it's very excited. You know, after this run, we'll probably get back in to kind of switch gears into that again. So I'm really excited for that.
Nice. Well, really looking forward to the music when it is already. But while we're talking about projects and stuff like that, we have to mention something that you've been releasing quite lately and fucking whatever with John Nolan and Anthony Green. Now, this is a bit left field for all of you. I think a lot of people, again, were taken by surprise that this was even a thing. How did it come about? Was it like a little joke back in 2016 of like Taste of Chaos when you all toured together that you should all do something someday and then this was just a perfect opportunity? Like, how did it come about?
Well, like that tour that we did in 2016, like all of the venues were kind of like outside of town and things like that. So after the shows, you know, like there was like nowhere to, like, you're not going out anywhere, do anything like that. So there were a lot of nights we just kind of just be sitting around hanging out, be it in the dressing rooms or like the parking lots, whatever. And I remember there was one night, like I just walked into the room and like Seosin was on that tour and they were always doing some weird shit. Like
I like the idea of our Seosin's running theme. Just weird shit. Seosin running some weird shit again? Of course they fucking are. Seosin.
Yeah, like there's just some weird trip they're on. Like they like taught me all about like the Wim Hof breathing method and like I walked into one of the rooms and it just sounded kind of like everybody was chanting and then I was like, well, I got to see what this is about. So like I went in and it's like Anthony and John and Ben, and they were just kind of like harmonizing and Ben was kind of like banging on stuff around. So I hopped in that. So it just kind of became this thing that we did after the shows, you know. And then one of my favorite times that we did it, we played this venue called Red Rocks in Colorado, which is just one of the most beautiful venues because it's built into the mountain. But there's a tunnel that goes from the stage to front of house, you know, like where all the mixing's done. And then in the tunnel, we like we were hanging out in there and doing that in there, and just with just how it, you know, like it's just this cement tunnel, so there's a lot of like echo and reverb, and it just sounded amazing. And then that was kind of that, you know, like that tour ended and we didn't think much about it. And then John was going through, like sometime last year, was going through his voice memos on his phone, and he had found a bunch of them that he had recorded. And then him and Anthony were talking, and they were like, oh, we should put these out. And then as John was listening more, he was like, you know, we should probably just redo them, because there were definitely moments, you know, that sounded great, and then other moments, ah, it's so great. And just to, you know, like reaching for the note or something. So then they we got to talking a little more, and then there was, I think Anthony first sent around this idea, and it was basically just him singing a cappella. And then so John took it and like added a thing to it, and then Ben added a thing to it, and then I added a thing to it. So we were just kind of sending these files around, and then John kind of became the point man to do the arranging. And at a certain point, we were like, we should put this out. And we weren't sure if anyone would put it out. But it turned out that Born Losers was all about it. So we put it out with them. And then, like, as the songs were going along, it was real amazing, because there was no... It was just like as free form as it could be. And there was never a moment that I remember even thinking, or even anyone else saying like, hey, maybe don't do this here and try something more like this. Like, it was just literally like everyone was just trying to put their thing on it to enhance the songs, you know, and I'm just really proud with how they came out. And then too, like, I like think that there's a big thing, you know, like in like writing, especially with myself, maybe the past year amplified it, but this kind of like or like really just this raging insecurity, you know, like it's like real hard when I've found for me sometimes when I'm like trying to write to like stop that other voice, you know, that other person that's in your head telling you that you can't, or like, or that whatever you're doing's no good or anything like that. Like, I was kind of in that place, and then through kind of working on this with those guys, I think really helped to kind of pull me out of that. And then also just like really like lifted up by them, you know, and I in like talking to them, they felt that same thing. So it was like real, like, I don't want to use the word therapeutic, but that's the only one I could think of right now. So it was very therapeutic. And I hope, you know, that like people that find their way to it, you know, like, I hope that they can get a little bit of that same thing that I felt, because that was real special to me. And then also every year, like, some buddies and I, like, we get this cabin up in the mountains, like, in this, right outside of this, city called Boone, in North Carolina. And it's like it's really just like a hippie weekend, but like no technology, like current technology. So we just take like records and acoustic instruments and like paint and things like that, and then just have a weekend to like kind of reset and all that. And then like I remember when we were talking about like, man, like it'd be awesome if we could put this out, like maybe get some vinyl made. And then like my first thought was this would be the perfect record for that weekend. And I want it just for that. And
nice.
Then that worked out. So it's real nice when a plan comes together, you know?
Yeah. It really is. It really is. But what a name for a project as well. Like, that yeah, is,
that's awesome.
That's up there with one of the best I've ever heard.
It makes me laugh every time, because it's, you know, like somebody walks in the room, hey, what do you listen to? Fucking whatever. But it's funny, because there was like, that was the name of the text group, like when we just started talking about sending ideas back and forth before we had recorded anything. I like think either like John or Ben named it fucking whatever, and so like then when we were talking about, oh well, we sh- we need to give it a name. And then it was just kind of like, well, the name's already there in the text group, so let's just keep that.
That's yeah. brilliant. Yeah.
Fair play.
That's
fair
that's play. That's inspired me to start my old band. Ah, you wouldn't fucking like it. That's my new band. Ah, you wouldn't fucking like it. What's this? Ah, you wouldn't fucking like it.
Ah, you wouldn't like. So, yeah. Is that spelt like A H H, comma? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or like how would that?
Oh no, I'd imagine it's all one word. I'm throwing it back to the early 2000s. Nice. Oh, no. One word. Oh, you wouldn't fucking like it.
No,
so it's A H H. You yeah, A-H-H-Y-O-U wouldn't fucking like it. Yeah, that's it. That's perfect. Is there any possibility of ever doing a show with the band somehow?
Man, we have we've had a lot of conversations about that, and then now it's a little more difficult just because everybody's getting back to work, you know, like or like just to get us all in the same place, you know, because Ben's with Group Love and Anthony's with Circa and like one of the other 50 projects he's working on. So busy.
Yeah.
And we have talked about that and like trying to figure out like the most like organic way to do it to where we don't have to be like running tracks or anything. And hopefully somewhere down the line, you know, like those stars will align and we'll be able to do it. But for me, like, I see it more like in like a theater, something like that, you know, like not to sound too like far out, man, but like just kind of like more of an experience like that, like to where like it's kind of like crowd interaction, because I think that would be the best way to pull it off, but we're still figuring it out.
Nice. Awesome. And also imagine how good a fucking weekend with Adam and friends is in that fucking hippie hangout that you've got going. I'm all for that. That sounds fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it's been, dude, like we've been doing like this year, well, like coming up, you know, 2022 I think will be like year 11 that we've done it. Yeah, like we call it Woods of Old. It's pretty great.
Well, Adam, we won't keep you too much longer because, you know, obviously you're on the road and you've got to prepare for a show and everything. But two last things I did want to talk about while we're mentioning music away from Taking Back Sunday. I noticed, obviously, during the lockdown period, you did do a live stream of playing just kind of different material and kind of just demos and stuff you've had over the years that you've never released. Have you ever considered or being close to kind of making a solo record of some kind, or kind of going off and doing another side project? Or obviously we've just talked about fucking whatever now, but like especially solo wise, is that anything that's ever crossed your mind over the years?
Oh, I think about it all the time. there's doing that live stream was what really kind of opened my eyes to like, wait a minute, I could just record this, because I think it would be cool to be able to do like share that with people and but it's just, that's just always like a timing thing, but it's I have so much fun with it. And there's like, as far as like recording and like on the studio end, you know, that's kind of like my favorite thing. And so I like think the more efficient I get on the engineering side, the more real that kind of idea becomes. Cause I think a lot of the songs that I just like them a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it does seem like the material's there.
And we would love to hear it as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Get it out. Get it. Sort out that engineering and get it out, man. Come on.
Go get to work. Well, it's like funny because I'm like looking at like the past year, like, oh my God, why didn't I have something ready like right now? But then I'm thinking, well, my wife's getting like her second master's, like fucking we're homeschooling the kids. Like it's like there just wasn't like a whole lot of time or like any time really, like just during day to where like that you just dedicate to doing that and then not kind of feel bad that you're not like not helping out with this other thing. So
well, that's fair enough. It does seem a very, very busy household. But one thing and a story I would love to kind of get a quick insight into you if possible is the time that you actually stepped in on vocals for My Chemical Romance, because Sean
was
as well. So I was just wondering, could you just tell us about that?
That was like a radio show.
97X in Tampa. I'll tell you exactly where it was. Like, 2004. Yeah. It was 2004, my first time in America. And, yeah, I was with my friend's band, Lost Prophets. And, I was literally there and it was fucking awesome. I just remember being like, oh, Take Back Sunday playing. And I was like, oh, wait, eh? That's the guy from Mike Kemp standing next to me at the side of the stage. What's going on here? What? They're going on and doing a song? This is fucking unbelievable.
I was actually reminded of that not too long ago. I think it came up like in like an internet conversation with Frankie, like there, but, we were kind of both doing like a lot of these similar radio shows at the time. And then I don't know if Gerard had gotten sick or his like voice was out, but they were gonna have to cancel the show and they really didn't want to. They were there. And then I just remember being like, well, like I know the words to this song, so let's figure something out. And it just worked out. I think I almost sang everything correctly.
Yeah, it was awesome. I just remember being fucking blown away. I was just like, it's like a fucking super group. This is unbelievable. Why don't all festivals just have a section at the end where all the bands just get together and just have a laugh and play each other's songs?
That would be, yeah, like I have a good amount of bands I think I could do that with. That would be a whole lot of fun.
Ooh, who would you like to do it with? Who would you like to go and do a song with?
Well, I mean, just since we're out with Jimmy World right now, we did a tour with them. It was like right before we went in to record Louder Now. And then on that tour, Jim asked if I would sing Davey, if I would sing his part. And then so I got to go up every night and sing with him, which was a wild. So I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. So there's that. And but me, like now, man.
Well, what you got to think is at the moment in the UK, right? Rick Astley, that's right, Never Gonna Give You Up, famous meme singer, Rick Astley, is currently fronting a band where they do a set of the Smith covers.
Really?
What? Yes. What band would Adam Lazara front as a cover band?
Oh, man, as a cover band, I don't even...
Who do you think could do who has the songs that you know enough of?
Well... I could do, man, I'm like trying to think, like I could do, I wish I knew about this question because I don't want to give an answer that's like not cool, but like I could do like anything Nirvana. I could do like, I know all those songs still.
I'll tell you what, I'll go first, right? And then you can say, well, that's not cool. So here's mine, right?
Oh God,
I could do From A to Z, Limp Bizkit.
Oh wow! There's a. Oh wow. Hey, have you seen that Woodstock?
Yeah.
Documentary. Wow. Oh man, no, that was heavy, huh?
Documentary yet, but I remember watching that over and over and going, "Oh, this is terrible." But then, yeah, I heard about it, and the organizers still blaming Fred Durst to this day.
Yeah, it's, which is a crazy thing, because then like even like Anthony Kiedis kind of did the same thing that Fred Durst did. The only difference was that they don't have a song like about breaking things. but
turning everything into California instead. Shit.
Or like kind of like that world. Like I could do Rage Against the Machine easy too. Like I know all those words still. And man, I remember there's this one year we were playing Reading and Leeds and they were headlining and we probably played at like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. So we're just hanging out. And then like, we're kind of standing like near the stage, you know, and then these four like blacked out Audi sports cars just like pull up like right next to the stage. And we're like, what? And then, so then they each get out of one of the cars and they're dressed in the Guantanamo Bay like prison suits and there's black bags on their heads and they have their security like walk them on stage and then we knew some of the security guys because they also had worked with Blink-182 and we've been on tour with them, so then they like pull us up they pull us up on stage. And so we're watching Rage Against the Machine at Reading and Leeds. And then, dude, it's like their whole entire stage was lined with monitors. It was the loudest stage I think I've ever heard. And oh man, it was just incredible. Like, it was like one of those moments of like, I can't believe I get to do this. Oh my God, I'm the luckiest guy. Oh, this is amazing.
No, that's seriously, that's awesome. I'd love to see you do some Rage Against the Machine covers. And for anyone listening,
too.
I think they all know that my band would be Taking Back Sunday. But anyway,
It'd have to be.
Sorry, Adam. But one last thing before you go.
No, now, you're making me blush, man.
No, trust me, no one wants to see me try and imitate you.
Oh, I can only imagine how bad that would be.
I do. I would pay good money for that.
Right, that's it. Yeah, you're the only one. Yeah, you're the only subscriber to the Twitch stream that he's going to.
Because
do.
But, yeah, he knows I would go and swing the mic and I would just hit myself in the face, knock myself out, and then never have to do it again.
That's how you learn, man. That's how you learn. You gotta take it to the face sometimes, you know, to know how to not make it so that doesn't happen anymore.
That's the quote of the episode. Anyway, you've got to take it to the face. Adam Lazara.
Oh, fucking up. No, just to leave you on one last question, Adam. Obviously, Taking Back Sunday will be coming back to the UK in March 2022.
Yes,
fingers crossed.
With Alkaline Trio.
Yes, co-headlining with Alkaline Trio. You must just be ecstatic to share the stage with those guys again, come back over here and just be in front of people's faces.
Yeah, man. I just really can't wait. Like, Alkaline Trio, I absolutely love their band and have for a long time. And then too, just to be able to go back over to the UK, man, like there was definitely points over the past year to where it's like, are we ever going to be able to go anywhere again? Oh my God, like what's going to happen? You know, like, not to sound dramatic, you know, but we're able to do that and that there's people that are excited to go makes me, I'm just really looking forward to it.
Nice. Well, yeah, I know we can't wait.
Yeah, we will be there. I'll be in the middle of the pit screaming every lyric. Like if I
look at you. Yeah, but we're going to be there in the day looking for discounted tickets to fucking Venmo you.
Yeah, hey man, you just shoot me an email. We'll work something out.
I can't wait. Dude, I can't wait. Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time, Adam. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you again. It goes without saying how much we appreciate you, the music, the band, everything. And yeah, just looking forward to March next year and be able to scream those lyrics back at you.
Man, well, thank you guys for all the kind words. So thanks for reaching out to me for your 152nd episode. That's awesome. Keep up the good work.
You're listening to Sapin Podcast!
Yes! Absolutely amazing. Adam Lazara back on Sapin Podcast. What a man, what a human, what a musician. Confessed my love for him again a few times.
He did.
He seemed to enjoy it and he seemed to like to catch up with us. So for that, I'm eternally grateful. And thank you for taking the time while on tour to talk to us.
Why wouldn't he want to be talk to two people who are just going to blow smoke up his ass for an hour?
We love you, man. Any chance we could talk to you about whatever you're doing? We're just going to be super nice and love you.
But it was awesome. It was a very funny chat. Again, we got to talk about two of my favourite Ricks. Ric Flair and Rick James.
I was in tears when Ric Flair came up. I was just not expecting that to happen, you know.
Who'd ever thought that we'd bring Taking Back Sunday and wrestling together? So that was good. Now if we can get Taking Back Sunday to fight somebody at that Every Time I Die wrestling event on every December, that'd be quite good. Should be an inter-band wrestling, shouldn't it? One member from every band should have to be forced into wrestling training and then they do a Royal Rumble then at like a Download or a Reading or whatever. It'd be an indie fucking Rumble, wouldn't it? Reading, it wouldn't be as good. But thank you again, Adam. I know you're not going to listen to this, but thank you again. He might listen to this. I don't know. And if he does, I'm sorry about that. But yeah, we had a great chat with him. Thank you very much to Emma Van Dyts for sorting it out. She is fantastic.
Yes, she is. We love her very, very much. Thank you again. And just going to remind you about a few things. Taking Back Sunday have coming up now. Of course, they've just released a new cover of Weezer's My Name Is Jonas, which is absolutely incredible. It's available on all streaming platforms now, so go and check that out. They're working on new music, so keep an eye out for that in the future. And they will be returning to the UK in March 2022 for a co-headline tour with Alkaline Trio, playing the following places.
Merthyr Tydfil. Are they playing Merthyr Tydfil again? Again, mind. Again, the fact that I can say again, right? Take It Back Sunday once played Merthyr Tydfil.
They did.
Because my band used to exist. There was no rock festivals in Merthyr Tydfil until my band came along, and then they had to put one on to accommodate us. And then 4 years later, Take It Back Sunday are playing in Merthyr Tydfil. Oh, you're welcome, Merthyr, but also fantastic.
And you were on just before him, but let's probably not remind Adam that you took him. You're the reason why he went to Merthyr Tydfil. Out of all the places he's played over the years, I don't think Merthyr Tydfil's up there.
Right. Next time, I'm going to write it down. Next time we talk to him, I'm going to ask him his opinions on Merthyr Tydfil. Even though he didn't see any of it bar the castle. That was it.
Sadly, they're not coming back to Merthyr Tydfil on this run, but in March 2022, they are coming to Newcastle, Glasgow, Manchester, Birmingham, and London, co-headlining with Alkaline Trio. So that's going to be a hell of a tour. And go and check out his new side project, Fucking Whatever, with John Nolan, Ben from Superlove, and Anthony Green of Seosin, Circus Survive, and so many other fucking projects. I can't believe he gets to make so many. How does he keep up with all of them? I don't understand. But loads of things going on. Absolutely chuffed that we could do this episode again and celebrate 152 with people who like that number.
Yes, and just to let you in on a little secret with numbers and stuff, every number we have a think, how does this relate to bands or stars? Or even episode 147, we tried to get Ronnie the Rocket Sullivan, who's a famous snooker player, the greatest snooker player of all time. He's also fucking mental as well. So, yeah, we did try, but that didn't work. But we are always trying for funny numbers. So if you've got any ideas for 153, 154, 155, 156, you know,
all the numbers,
let us know who you think we should get in. Like episode 555, gotta be one of Slipknot. 100% is going to be one of Slipknot, right? 666, we'll have Lucifer himself.
But on that logic, we need to convince one of the Blink boys to come on 482.
Must do. We have to.
Well, right. It'd be rude if he didn't, really. So,
If Adam
can come on for 152, one of Blink can come on for 182.
The very least, Mark Hoppus can come on for 182. Can he? Or if you've got to, if we have to, and I won't enjoy it, Kourtney Kardashian. I won't enjoy it, but she'd have to come on because she's now related to the Blink-182, isn't she?
She is. They're engaged now, aren't they? Erin, Trav.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I don't mind going on the fancy plane and speaking to Trav and her at the same time, though.
No, neither does Travis now, apparently. Fucking hell. I don't mind them doing it.
Happening Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Let us know your thoughts. Fair. Any numbers that would be good to relate to certain episodes or anything. And go and please check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin, because that is the best way to support the podcast if you enjoy listening to it.
It's the only way. What do you mean it's the best way? Well, that, or if you see me in the street, give me a fiver.
I was going to say, check him a fiver.
The end of this has gone mad.
Over there, there's loads of extra bonuses and stuff that we try to put up as regularly as we can. There's a wonderful community, and we've been doing a lot of celebrations lately. Coming up in a few weeks will be the third birthday of Saturday Podcast. So we're going to be doing a few things to celebrate that with a special meetup to our patrons, and we're going to be doing something Christmas involving a gig. So if you want all the information on that, patreon.com/sapnin, and come and join in on the fun.
Yes, should be two very, very good events if they come off like we are currently organising. I'm very, very excited by them both. Any other news, Morg? Any personal news? Didn't you have that penis reduction last week? You having that problem with balance. You kept falling forward all the time. Anyway, never mind all that bollocks. We need to thank some very, very important people who are involved in our Patreon.
Yes, if you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there of wonderful people who support us. But now Sean is going to read out some of the elite members of our Sapin Podcast Patreon community. Those are the top tiers. And they're wonderful, 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 wonderful people like everybody else in the group.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This couldn't have been done without the Patreon. Honest now. I know we say this every week, but genuinely, thank you very much to everybody who's ever been part of the Patreon. If you've thought about it, get a fucking move on, will you? Thank you very much to the fantastic Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Urangutan Closely Away, Janelle Caston, Amandine, thank you so much, Shona Morgan, for everything, Urbano, that's the weirdest middle name I've ever read, Mitch Perry, Dilly, I thought this was OnlyFans Grimwood, Dilly, you know from the behind-the-scenes photos that we've put up that this is more X-rated than OnlyFans anyway, so we can do more. So thank you very much, Kelly Ewan, Kelly Young, Liam Connolly, Natasha Morris, Drew Styles, Nathan Croshaw, Emma Barber, Paul Hirschfield, Sammy G, Tony Michael, Kat Besant, Captain Hannibal, Jenny Robertson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Johnny Phillips, Amy Campion, Name Redacted, Mikey McDonald's McMuffin Buns, Caroline Robinson, Chris Howard, Craig Irvin. Congratulations, Craig Irvin's pregnant. Well, he's not, his missus is, obviously. Thank you very much. Louis Cook, Marty McManus, Kevin Clark, Danny Eaton, Carl Pendlebury, Lydia Henderson, James McNaught, Craig Harris, Jenny Sexy Boy Munster, Lucy Diaz, Emily Perry, John and Emma, Jason Heredia, Becky Andy, Stuart McNaught, Kelly Cannon, Sharif Awadali, Ollie Amesbury, Adam King of the Goss Parslow, we saw the other week. Josh, I have a fear of speed bumps, but I'm slowly getting over it. Crisp, one of his better ones. Alice Wood, Kieran Allen, Rhys Bowring, Ben Evans, Amy Chilvers, Kate Stevenson, Connor Lewins, Livy Cropper, Daniel Llanfair, Pwt Gwyngil, Cogel, Chwyn Drop, Llantasilio, Gogogog, Stevenson. Try me again, son. Try me again. Bring it, like. Oh, is it? Oh, I know, I'll do the big long Welsh towel. He'll never be... Ha! In the words of David... disgraced comic Dave Chappelle, gotcha, bitch! And that'll be that.
Oh, thank you to those. I don't know if it was the last one, but thank you to those wonderful, wonderful people. Literally, without the Patreon, this podcast would definitely not be able to happen. It wouldn't have gone on as long as it has. So, if you're listening to this and you're not, please have a think about it. We would appreciate it, and we'd love to get to know you a little bit more. But this has been a wonderful episode. Absolutely means the world to me that Adam Lazzara has come back on to talk to us, two daft Welsh idiots, and we'll be back.
I'm surprised he came back.
I'm surprised too, but he did, and he laughed. So, I mean, good signs all around. But we'll be back next Friday and every Friday with a very special guest, and next week's will help a little bit with the spooky season. Ooh.
Wait, I don't know who it is. Ooh, what? Ooh. Is it the Misfits? Are we doing the Misfits?
Trick or treat, motherfuckers! I don't know why I said that, but yeah.
I don't know why you said that. I don't know why you said that.
Let's go with fucking mental.
Yeah, in the vein of fucking whatever, I'm going to go with fucking something! Say it then.
It's happening.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.